ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been studying the third section of the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In our last class, we have given the essence of it. The essence of this third section is, we have all come from God and our destiny is to go back to God, but we are somehow caught in the net of ignorance. Ignorance means that we are not Brahman. We are not from Brahman. We are not Brahman. We are separate from Brahman. But our evidence proves that we are nothing but individual manifestations of Brahman, but in the form of his manifestations called presiding deities, Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, and Prithvi. And what is the difference between a presiding deity and each one of our individualities? Every part of our both body and mind is a manifestation individually of these presiding deities. For example, the mind is the manifestation of the moon, the ears are the manifestation of space or akasha, the sense organ of touch is the manifestation of vayu, and the heat in our body called prana, that is the manifestation of agni. The watery part of our body belongs to the Jaladevata, and the physical body is the part of the Prithvi Devata. And the mind also contains all these five parts, but they are called Tanmatras, very subtle, so subtle that we cannot feel them. We can experience them only through this physical sense organs. Then the individual body and mind is ever longing to go back to its origin. Every effect longs to go back to its origin, and that is called evolution. So in this case, the third section tells in the form of a small allegory that there are two types of people, selfish and unselfish. What keeps us as individuals bound in this net of ignorance called Maya is selfishness. What is selfishness? I am different from everything else. What is unselfishness? I am one with everything. When any one of us succeed in getting rid of this selfishness, which means we become unselfish, which means we identify ourselves with everything else, which means there is no me and everything else. It is all but one. When we slowly progress towards that identity, first we become Virat, then we become Hiranyagarbha, then we become Mahat, then we become Ishvara. Finally, we also become one with Brahman to declare thereafterwards, to know thereafterwards, and declare Aham Brahma Asmi. And if this body mind still persists as individuality, then that individual person, he knows not only I am Brahman, there is nothing else excepting Brahman. Everything is nothing but Brahman. So that is how a Jivan Mukta, liberated, still having body mind, he knows that others call him a Jivan Mukta. A Jivan Mukta never calls himself, I am a Jivan Mukta. because our concept of Jivan Mukti is previously this person was ignorant and he did some spiritual practice, getting the guidance from the right guru, and through the practice, slowly he came to know he is Brahman. So, as if we have lost the Brahmanhood, our true nature, and through some great merit, we came across a teacher, obtained his instruction, followed the path shown by him, and came to realize, I am Brahman. This is our concept of what a Jivan Mukta is. But once a person understands, thereafter, if the body mind remain, such a person whom we call a Jivan Mukta never feels that way. He never feels, at one time I was Brahman, then I forgot I was Brahman, then I remembered I am Brahman. Ever since I am living with the knowledge I am Brahman, they are not his thoughts. Time doesn't exist. Limitations do not exist. Mind doesn't exist. Maya doesn't exist. He never thinks that somehow I fell into something called samsara and somehow by the grace of God and Guru I came out. That would not be the thoughts of a Jivan Mukta. This is the distinction we have to know. So the third, what is the essence? That we have to manifest our divinity. And how do we manifest? By practicing certain spiritual disciplines called yogas. How do they help us? By getting rid of our selfishness, which is, in other words, I am separate from you. Gradually as we progress, no, I am not separate from you. I am part of you. You are part of me. That is a higher step. And then still, last step is, there is no I and you. Everything is God alone. God alone, and there is nothing else. So that is what the essence of the third section. Get rid of selfishness. If you analyze any type of sadhana, whether it is Christian, Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, or any ism, their opinions about God might differ. What happens after death might differ. But in sadhana, there is no difference. Progress in spirituality means progress in getting rid of, reducing selfishness. Reducing selfishness means reducing the distinction between me and the others. That is the essence. Such a person, in course of time, will become a Jivan Mukta. But since everyone of us have to start somewhere, Upanishad tells, first you take very gross symbol called a horse, then you take another symbol that is even better, that is called Agni or fire, then take even better symbol, which is the very personification of unselfishness called prana. And in the end, when I become identified with prana, I become prana devata, which is called Virat. Virat realizes I am Hiranyagarbha, and Hiranyagarbha realizes I am none other than Ishvara, and Ishvara knows I am none other than Brahman. This is the process we have. And then yesterday, I said, Shankaracharya gives us an intellectual exercise. What is that? That he is now refuting. Remember, earlier he has refuted through a commentary called Pot Commentary, Ghatabhashyam, that in the beginning Brahman alone was, and the whole creation came from Brahman, like a pot has come from clay. And the pot is absolutely one with clay. A pot has no special separate existence, but because of our concept that it is small, it is square, etc., we give a particular form for a particular purpose, give it a name, and we think it is separate from clay. But through analysis, Brahman is alone manifesting as this entire universe, like the waker manifests as the entire dream world, and it is a very common experience for all of us. So, that is the conclusion is, I am the waker, and dream world is nothing but me, idly, uselessly, dreaming that I have become separate from myself. When I wake up, I realize everything that I thought I created is none other than me. I am the intelligent cause. I am the material cause. I am the instrumental cause. Then Shankaracharya wants to tell, refute now some other Purva Paksha. Is highly interesting. As I said, it may or may not help in spiritual life, but definitely we have to cultivate our intellect for the simple reason God has already provided us with the capacity to understand. And when whatever God has given, we have to use that faculty to manifest our divinity. This is the purpose, and that is what we need to do. So, where from are we getting knowledge? Whatever knowledge we are getting is divided into two parts. The first part is what we are experiencing. Second part is what we hope, such as there must be a God. He must have created the entire universe and me also. And he who created me is my father and mother. And whenever I am suffering, then I have to pray to him to help me stop this suffering. And I also not happy with the happiness I have at present. I want to increase it to the optimum level, maximum level. So, these are the struggles, and that we will discuss at the end of this very last mantra, 28th mantra, called Abhyaroha mantra. I am only forestalling what we are going to discuss later on. The three unconscious prayers of every living creature is Asato Ma Sadgamaya. Let me not have death. Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya. Let me never be ignorant of anything. Ignorance is death. Ignorance is suffering. And let me never have any interruption, break in my happiness. So I am Ananda Swarupa. Sat, Chit, Ananda Swarupa. And expressed through these three prayers called Abhyaroha mantras. And they happen to come in the last mantra of this third section, which we will discuss later on. But then, there are several schools of philosophy, and it is very peculiar schools of philosophy, and they say, there is no God, there are no gods, but Veda is a Pramana. And Pramana means, is a valid knowledge. And what does the Veda give us? Our science, what we call science, gives us correct knowledge, right knowledge, uncontradictable knowledge about this world. Only when it is right knowledge, it is called scientific knowledge, not doubtful knowledge. But we are not happy with this. We want to know whether there is a God, whether there is higher state of happiness, whether there is another world, where conditions are, there are no wars. It is just like a beautiful club. Only from morning till evening, programs are designed to make one extremely happy. So we long for that. Whether we know it or not, it is inborn. It is in our nature. It is our longing. Whatever happiness I attain, I am never satisfied. I want higher and still higher happiness until I become one with pure happiness, which is called Ananda. So that subject we will discuss later on. But now, this is a school of philosophy. It is called Vedanta philosophy. Now, Vedanta philosophy is a common word. So there is a Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. Both are schools of Vedanta only. Why do we call them Vedanta? Because the teachings of the Veda are accepted by both. And before we go further, The Purva Mimamsakas have a peculiar philosophy. They believe in the Vedas, but they don't believe in the Vedic gods. We will discuss it very shortly. According to Hinduism, who is a believer? If you ask a Christian who believes in Christ, God, Bible, he is a Christian. Same thing goes to Islam and many other religions. But according to Hinduism, a person who believes in the Vedas, that is, Veda is the ultimate scripture. It is not created by human beings. It is not a Paurushaya, a created work of a human being. But it is divine. That is called a Paurushaya. Non-human means divine. Then there are so many gods and goddesses mentioned there. No, they are just mentioned only as an ornament. It is not true. We don't believe in it. We believe only in one teaching of the Veda. What is it? Vedas are primarily that which drive a person towards action. They have a beautiful Sanskrit sloka. I will come to that also. So this Purva Mimamsakas are accepted by Hinduism as believers. So there are three types of believers are there. Those who say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the scriptures. Those who say, I believe in the scriptures only, I don't believe in God. And those who believe both in God as well as in the scriptures. And most of us belong to this third group. Now, according to Hinduism, Hindu religion, one need not accept that God exists and I believe in God. It is more than enough if a person accepts that I am divine and that is the real teaching. Now I think I am not divine, so I am bound. I can be freed by action. And how I can be freed through certain actions are indicated by the scriptures. For me, those indications are absolute authority. So, I believe in some parts of the Veda, not every part of the Veda, but those parts of the Vedas only which indicate life is meant for rituals, karma pradhana, karma chodana. But I do not believe in the other statements, other sentences of the Veda. Because the person says, I believe in Veda, Hinduism accepts you are a believer. If a person says, I don't believe in God, but I believe in the Veda, he is accepted by Hinduism as a believer, unlike many of the other religions. So that is the distinction. Now the Shankaracharya wants to correct this wrong opinion, irrational thinking. So if you ask the Purva Mimamsa, what is the use of believing in only one part of the Veda, then their clipped answer would be that we are all free people, we are Atman. And to know that I am the Atman or Brahman and become free forever, that is the goal of life. And Vedas distinctly provide me a pathway for that. And that pathway lies through a performance of rituals. So every sentence which doesn't connect us with some action, with some ritual, action means ritual, is just merely a vain word, a meaningless word, a useless word. So every word, directly or indirectly, must connect me with some action, ritual. This is their main Purva Mimamsaka's main view. As I said, because they believe in Vedas and the teachings of the Veda is called Vedanta. They are also called Vedantins, but they are Purva Mimamsa Vedantin, believing only in the Karmakanda part of the Veda. But as opposed to them, like Shankara, Buddha, Sri Ramakrishna, etc., we believe in the second part. What is the role of the first part called rituals? It is to purify us, gradually to make the body and mind
fit instruments to prepare us to become adhikaris, fit persons, by endowing us with fourfold qualities called sadhana, chaturshaya, sampatti. Then a teacher, experienced teacher will come, whether we want it or not. As soon as I am ready, God himself will come in the form. And all gods and goddesses are true according to our view, not according to Purvamimamsaka view. And then the guru will teach through, first, this is your path. That is called Shravana. Do this. That is called Shravana. If any doubts are there, they have to be completely destroyed, removed, until we know it is 100% truth. That is called Manana. And there afterwards, how to make our life one with our faith, which is called Nididhyasana. In other words, transform our life into pure unselfishness. This is the view of the Uttaramimamsakas. So, this Purvamimamsa specializes in the ritual portions of the Veda called Karma Kanda. And we, who stand in the other part, Uttaramimamsa, which is Vedanta, dealing with the Jnana Kanda, or knowledge portions of the Veda, we are also believers in the Veda. But apart from the Veda is Brahman in the form of sound. So Advaitins like Gaudapada, Govinda Bhagavatpada, Shankaracharya, Totapuri, Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, all of us, we belong to this Uttaramimamsa school. So let us take up very briefly, but with crystal clear understanding. Purvamimamsaka says, only rituals matter, everything else is completely unimportant. Either it can be removed or maybe indirectly they have to help us perform some action. This is their central belief, that the entire Veda is meant only to prescribe rituals and actions, and one gets rid of ignorance only through rituals and actions. That is why it is called Vedaha Karya Paraha. Veda is nothing but centered in prescribing and making all of us do rituals or actions. So there was a person called Jaimini, a very disciple of Vedavyasa, who used to propagate this philosophy, and he summed up the entire Purvamimamsa theory in this one verse, Amnayasya Kriyarthatvat. Anarthakyam atat arthana. Amnaya means Veda. The entire purport of the Veda is Kriyartha, for the sake of making us undertake some action. Action means ritual, not any action. I'm walking, I'm breathing, I'm cutting capers. They're not actions. I'm doing something to ensure my evolution through some ritual. That alone deserves the name action. So, everything, the whole Veda is only centered around Karya. So then, based on this belief, the Purvamimamsaka, they divide the entire statements of the Vedas into two types, Vidhi and Arthavada. So, Vidhi means commandments or injunctions that prescribe rituals. These alone are valid, these alone are authoritative, and these alone constitute the real teaching of the Veda, then what about the rest of the sentences of the Veda? Arthavadaha, all other statements such as descriptions of gods, other worlds, many stories, praising passages, cosmological accounts, these are all considered as secondary, irrelevant, non-factual and invalid. So, in their framework, whose framework? The Purvamimamsaka's framework, state there are statements at every step in the rituals, even in their own ritualistic portion, Indraya Swaha, Purudaya Swaha, Agnaya Swaha, that means I offer this to Indra, I offer this Varuna, I offer this to Agni. We also do it in the puja, homa time. Then when questioned, they say it is just imaginary, decorative, and useful only to motivate a person to perform a ritual. The gods, they do not exist. The ritual, the karma, alone is the giver of the fruit. So, a Purva Mimamsaka does not believe in the very existence of gods, not to speak of God. And yet, he believes in moksha. That is, I can become completely free from all suffering through actions alone. So, if you ask them that how does a ritual, say you are offering, this offering is meant for Indra, Indraya Swaha. How do you explain this? They say it is the action itself, karma itself is so powerful, it gives the result. In fact, we also believe it. Every karma brings its own result. That is one of the fundamental pillars of Hinduism, the fourth pillar of Hinduism, which is called Karma Siddhanta. We are all what we are, where we are born, how our fates are already determined. It is all determined by the actions we have done in our past lives. So karma itself is capable of giving its own result. No need for gods and goddesses, etc. So all these other things, other than what prescribes actions, is arthavada, is mere what is called praising effects, are irrelevant, or they might goad a person to action. One example, suppose we hear there is a great world called Brahmaloka. So Brahmaloka lokaha asti, there is a world called Brahmaloka. If you put this sentence to a Purva Mimamsaka, what do you understand by that? Says it is arthavada. But does it not serve any purpose? Yes, yes, not directly, indirectly. So there is a restaurant where food is very tasty. That is a arthavada. But then when you want to enjoy something, you remember it and it makes you run to that restaurant. And of course you have to carry some money to pay, and then you will be served. So this arthavada, indirectly, it is goading you to run to that restaurant. So in that sense, there is a Brahmaloka. There the highest enjoyment is available. So that goad says, oh, it is a wonderful place. It is the bestest of all hotels, 70-star hotel, and I would like to go there. But for that, we have to pay very high price, and that price can be obtained only through rituals. This is their understanding. So, karma itself is the giver of the karma phala. It is a very natural phenomena. The gods mentioned like Indra, Agni, Varuna, Vayu, especially when we studied the Kena Upanishad, we got it. These are all not real beings. They're merely nominal labels. For that, Shankaracharya takes a most telling bhashya. Even those who have not heard it, they will have to hear it. And there, I can guarantee you that their intellect will expand. So let us take up that, what is their view? Purva Mimamsakas, they also state this called epistemological argument. What is epistemology? That branch of philosophy which deals with what is knowledge, what is right knowledge, what is wrong knowledge, how to obtain the right knowledge. Such things, it is called epistemology, the science of right knowledge. So, when Shankaracharya wants to tell the whole Veda, every single word that is written in the Veda is a pramana, an authority. It is absolutely true. When he wants to establish, not as you think, only the rituals alone are true and the givers of results, good or bad. No, every sentence in the Veda is absolute truth. For that, I am condensing this argument so that it will be easier to remember also. How do we get our knowledge? Let us take ordinary knowledge. You see a tree and you did not never saw that tree before. Then somebody, you ask somebody, what is that object that I am seeing? And the person knows. So he says, it is called a tree. It belongs to this species called plants and it yields beautiful fruits which are most desirable. It gives fruits only at a particular season, in summer season. It is called a mango tree. Now you heard, this is a mango tree. Next time, whenever you see that tree or similar trees, then you say, this is a mango tree. This is a mango tree. So slowly you are going on, getting more knowledge. This is a neem tree. This is an apple tree. This is a berry plant. This is a lemon plant, etc., etc., etc. So we are accumulating millions and millions of knowledges. That means every word indicates a particular object. Now, this Purva Mimamsakas tell us, suppose you know, here is an example, Rama is one word, Lakshmana is another word, Sita is another word. Individually, suppose you tell to somebody, Rama, Sita, Lakshmana, what do you understand? Because it has not become a sentence. It remained as meaningless words only. Of course, meanings are there, but they don't make any sense to you. Okay, what about Rama? What about Lakshmana? What about Sita? So, Rama is walking along with Lakshmana and Sita in a forest called Dandakaranya. Now, that is called a sentence. And every sentence must, every word in the sentence must be connected. And what is it that connects? That is called a verb. That is why there must be a subject, there must be an object, and there must be that which connects both of them, which is called a verb. That is called karta, karma, and kriya. So in this example, Rama is walking with Lakshmana and Sita. That makes sense. Simply saying Rama, Lakshmana and Sita do not make any sense. Or Krishna and Gopis. If you hear such two words, you know the meaning of the Krishna, meaning of the Gopis, but it doesn't make any sense. So what about it? Krishna is dancing with Gopis. He is dancing. That is called Kriya. That is called verb. So a sentence is a pramana. Every sentence connects all the words. And what connects all the words in a sentence is called a verb. And with that, every verb indicates an action. In this case, Rama is walking along with Lakshmana and Sita is a verb, is indicating an action. A verb without fail always must find out. A verb should be there. Without that, words are meaningless. And they are right. We have to understand that. Merely getting knowledge is one thing. Every word has its own meaning. We are all aware of that meaning. But until we hear, we combine two objects with a verb. In that case, one becomes the subject, another becomes the object, and the verb's purpose, its utility is in connecting these two words. And these are called karakas or vibhaktis. So how wonderfully Shankaracharya is trying to analyze and say, these sentences make meaning, and of course, that is what Purva Mimamsakas absolutely make it crystal clear. So, word is not a pramana, means an authority, that means not right knowledge. Why? Because without verb, it remains meaningless. So, but a sentence is a authority. What does the sentence do? Every sentence reveals the relationship among the objects denoted by its words. I'll give another example. Rama killed Ravanasura with some arrows with the help of a bow. I say Rama becomes the subject, Ravana becomes the object, and Ravanasura is defeated, destroyed, but with the help of bow and arrows. And it protected this action through that Rama, removed the evil that brought on suffering to so many people. And you can go on adding that he got these arrows from the branch of a particular tree. So Rama got his bows and arrows from a particularly useful tree, and with the help of that bow and arrows, through the knowledge of archery, confronted Ravanasura and killed him and brought lot of relief to most of the people there. And therefore I salute Rama for doing this good to me. So all the grammar divides it, the nominative case, objective case, instrumental case, dative case, etc., including location. Where did Rama kill? In Sri Lanka. That is called location. So these sentences which contain verbs and their relationships, that alone is pramana according to the Purva Mimamsakas. Everything else is completely meaningless. Now before we go further, we have to understand something different. A pramana means right means of knowledge. So if you want to see very minute things, you require an instrument called microscope. If you want to see objects at a very long distance, we require another instrument called telescope. So that is how, what does a microscope and telescope do? They are not independently valuable. They extend the range of my eye, making them capable of seeing both small and big. Therefore, the instruments are required. For what purpose I want to do? To get the knowledge about small living creatures like bacteria or long distance stars, etc., which even human eyes can never see, and that is how science is progressing. So therefore, the Purva Mimamsakas believe that is how all the seven karakas, they are called karakas, cases in English grammar. So Vedas, which you do not teach, you gather some firewood from a particular tree, put it in a particular place, you have to sit towards the east, and then you have to do certain rituals, and then you have to offer these things, then you are sure to get, because this karma kanda pramanya. But all other things, Indra is great, Chandra is great, Brahman is great, Ishvara is great, these are all arthavadas, because they do not at least directly goad a person to do some ritual action. Now, I was trying to find out how thoroughly our ancestors have gone through this. So the first thing is, what is a pramana? What is the right means of knowledge? So for that, they have put two conditions. One condition is, the knowledge which we get through a particular instrument should not have been available before that, excepting through that instrument. And it should not contradict what has already been known. Simple example, if my eyes can see that the sun is rising in the east, I don't need a Veda. My ordinary eyes, your eyes, everybody's eyes, we all know where the sun rises, we see the sun early in the morning, that is called, we give the name, eastern direction. For that, Veda need not come and say, I am eating a sweet. Veda need not come and say, this is a sweet, it is a very sweet dish, so it will give you pleasure. I don't need it, because I can experience it through my sense organs. So therefore, these are the two conditions that if Veda has to give us knowledge, right knowledge, it must fulfill these two conditions. It should not give us knowledge which has already been obtained through other means, our five sense organs, mind, etc. So, scientific knowledge doesn't allow Veda Pramana. Secondly, it should never contradict. If Veda says sun rises in the west. Simply throw it out, because it contradicts what I already know. It should never contradict. Naturally, these two conditions lead to a third conclusion. The knowledge that Veda gives is never available through any other means, and it never contradicts what we already know. And what is the type of knowledge? That you are divine, you are coming from Brahman, as if you are coming. You are not really coming. You will be Brahman alone. And this knowledge, no science can give. Science can neither prove God, nor disprove God. Why? Because that is not its field. Those instruments which we use through science are nothing but our five sense organs and mind. All the instruments that, including your AI, if you want to make one code, for example, you have to raise the question, what type of code, for what purpose, you have to think. And then only AI can answer. You don't go and say that I am getting bored, give me something. Of course you can ask that one, but that will not help me. So, Veda gives very specific type of knowledge which is not available through any other means. Therefore, it cannot be contradicted. So, Veda is a Pramana. But what is the crux of the problem? The Purva Mimamsakas say only one part of the Veda is real. Other thing is Arthavadas or Bhuta Arthavadas. We will talk about them because this is a very interesting discussion. So what it says, Purva Mimamsakas say, all other sentences in the Veda which do not directly or indirectly lead to some form of action are called Arthavadas. That is, secondary type of knowledge, not necessary unless they are connected with a ritual. Anything that is not connected with a ritual is not acceptable. For that, one of the clinching arguments that Shankaracharya will give, which we have to discuss in our next class, is this. So, where from this universe has come, which consists of you, Purva Mimamsaka, me, Uttara Mimamsaka, and which gave you body and mind, where from have you come? From a cause. Whether you choose to call that cause as Brahman or nature, that is a different issue. But you must have come from a particular cause. And what is the nature of that cause? That you don't know. So like the pot doesn't know, I am from clay, I am of the nature of clay, I am never different from clay. So if our cause, final cause is Brahman, what is the nature of Brahman? It is called Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. In the Taittiriya, second chapter, which we just now closed, and then this Ever Upanishad tells it is Sat, Chit, Ananda. You don't have death, you don't have ignorance, you are all knowing, you are all powerful, because knowledge is power. And your very nature is Ananda. Now what are you doing? You are trying to get Ananda through some object, either a small object or a higher, bigger object, going through Swargaloka, heavenly world, etc., etc. That's not the point. The point is, you are not of the nature of happiness, but you are trying to squeeze happiness from some other object. Whereas, Vedanta means Uttara Mimamsa, tells us, you are coming from Brahman. The nature of Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda. You are of the nature of eternal existence, infinite knowledge, and unbreakable bliss. That is your very nature. And this word, description of Brahman, is it Pramana or not? The Purva Mimamsaka says, no, it is not a Pramana. Shankaracharya says, it is a Pramana. Purva Mimamsaka says, it is an Arthavada. Because by knowing Brahman exists, what action? By knowing you, I am free, what action is it prescribing? It is not prescribing any action. Shankaracharya answers, Yes, it is prescribing action. If I am coming from Brahman, if my nature is pure existence, knowledge and bliss, then I have forgotten. And I have to do something to get back that memory. And getting back that memory through particular means is called sadhana. So it is leading to that action, but it is telling me something very high. So even you cannot call it arthavada, that is secondary, useless, meaningless sentences. It, in fact, that is the real goal of even you who are trying to go to higher lokas. What for? To get higher ananda. And how are you going to attain it? Through some rituals, yajnas, yagas, etc. So this beautiful discussion will be going on. So words give us knowledge, but they don't guide us to understand the relationship between individual words unless they are being connected by a verb. And when words are connected with a verb, they are called sentences. And these sentences must point out to some action for us to understand, and then alone they are called Veda Pramana, not otherwise. Marvelous subject, which we will continue in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Dayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.